This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings out there to everybody at TFMR. It is Thursday, July the 8th, about noon Eastern, and I've got a special podcast for you. I've had several people email me over the last couple of weeks saying, is there any chance we could take another look at Winston Gold? You may recall, we first spoke with Joe Carrabba, who's the executive chairman of Winston Gold, last fall. And it seemed like a very interesting opportunity for where they were in bringing the production online, where they are jurisdiction-wise, the team they have. Talked to them again in January. And then, you know, geez, like anything else, man, the first half of this year has just been challenging as heck. In precious metals in general, obviously, but, you know, individual companies like Winston have had some hurdles they've had to overcome. So anyway, putting it all together, here's Joe Carrabba. I was able to track him down, and he graciously decided to come back on and give us an update. Joe, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, Craig, thanks very much. It's always great to talk to you and your audience, and glad to give an update on Winston. As you say, it's turbulent times all the way through, from COVID to the social changes that we're having in the world and how it's affecting the economies, particularly in the U.S., around the world, and what it's doing to precious metals and the markets.
No doubt. I mean, even here as we record this today, another day where the gold price rallies overnight in Asia and London and then gets on to New York and just gets smashed backward. And it just seems as if it is a hated asset at this point. And the shares certainly have terrible sentiment too, which, you put it all together from a contrarian perspective, that's probably the time to start getting excited again when everybody hates everything. Your company, like I said, I'm a shareholder. I bought it. I don't know what I have, 50,000 shares. It's not like some massive position, but I'm a believer in the story. You're in outside of Helena, Montana. So we love the jurisdiction. You've got producing resources up there that, you know, produced in the past. A lot of good things coming together. I want to start though. Before I get there, you were telling me a second ago, we were talking about transitory inflation and supply chain disruptions. Tell everybody that story you just shared with me about the fuses.
Sure, I'll be glad to. And I think, you know, where it's going to hit on for all metals and materials is going to certainly be on the supply side, and it's going to inhibit the supply side of, you know, whatever you may be mining, but particularly in the gold industry as well. Just strictly everything that you read or see in the financials are true on the ground. People are very difficult to find. Mm-hmm. These are well-paying jobs. It is hard work. There's no question about it. And the skilled labor force is extremely difficult to find as well. And I think you hear that and see, you know, job postings across the country that goes with it. But I think even more than that, we've got a good crew. We've really come up with some really good people that know this narrow vein mining, underground mining, Craig, very well, and over at the mill as well to bring recoveries up. But the getting supplies of any type from structural steel, electrical, you know, the explosives have almost doubled in their cost that we see right now. Is very difficult. We have one person, this is a very small operation, right? We have one person that basically chases supplies all day long just to keep things going. So, you know, you hear the feds talk about transitory inflation. We certainly don't take that view. Talking to our suppliers, this looks very long-term, whether the products are produced within the United States or other places. I mean, everybody always blames China in the supply chain disruption, but I can tell you it's across the board in just about anything you're looking at. So we're managing that as best we can. It hasn't caused it to shut down or anything like that, but it's certainly going to be, inflation is in, it's going to be more expensive to mine and manage these properties, no matter what you're mining. And we've got to be very careful about keeping our supplies in line so we can keep production up. So I think all that adds, again, gold is going to be on the supply side inhibited. You just can't run as hard as you want to just due to lack of some vital supplies. And particularly if you're building something, if you're in new construction, you know, it's going to be incredibly difficult and the timelines are going to be stretched out quite a bit given the nature of trying to get materials right now. So I think, again, it's difficult for everybody, but, you know, gold is always kind of in the opposite direction of that. And I think it bodes well because it's just going to constrain the supply side of gold production.
Yeah. And again, more signs, not transitory. And that whole transitory narrative seems to be what's holding back gold more than anything else at this point. And
right.
I just thought kind of where the rubber meets the road, those stories I find are though anecdotal, of course, obviously, interesting. All right. So, Joe, I got all excited last year. We were moving into production this year at Winston. But you have this mill, Paradigm Mill?
Yep, the Paradigm Mill that we have a lease on and an option to buy, Craig. This mill had been sitting idle since, maybe for about 10 to 12 years. And, you know, you go in with as much and you do as much anticipated pre-maintenance and preventive maintenance as you can to start up, which we did. And then we were producing. We've sold our first trial load, container load of material through a group that we were very excited to work with. We think we've got a good partner for the brokerage of the material, the concentrate. And then we lost the pinion bearing on the ball mill, the great big large mill that grinds all of the ore up as it mm-hmm. comes into the mill, the first step of, after the crushing of the grinding. Fortunately, there is a machine shop still located in Montana that can handle these. This isn't just some of our shareholders thought this was just, you know, you go to the shelf and you buy a bearing and you put it in. These are babbitted bearings. They've got to be machined and poured. It's quite an art anymore that goes with it. But long story short, it took about a month for all of that to happen and put the mill back together safely. Now, we did a lot of other improvements in the mill while we were down, but it certainly hurt us right in the middle of getting up and getting started. We have successfully started back up. We've put in another set of cells, flotation cells, which we would call cleaner cells. And in that, we are getting recoveries into the mid to high 80% now that goes with it. And our goal is to move up into the low to mid 90% on the recovery rate. And we've got a couple other ideas on how to do that. We're bringing in metallurgists from different areas and different expertises. We're not shy to ask for help and make sure we've got the right expertise to get it going. But it certainly has set us back from a cash flow basis. That's why you've seen some placements come in place with it. We've just got to bridge the gap right now on a cash flow basis. But the mill is up; it's running fine, and we continue to make improvements and produce gold and silver concentrate.
So we're back in business with the mill running. What about some of those goals you had for production? Obviously set back this year.
Yeah, it has set us back a bit. We're working through the math right now. You know, we won't hit the number of ounces that we thought we'd hit this year with the setback that we had and getting the mill tweaked, if you will, to get the recoveries up. But we'll put that out in a press release in the next week or two.
Okay.
We just want to get this mill up. We want to get these cleaner cells settled in, if you will, and make sure we give a good prediction to our shareholders. But yeah, it was a setback and it will hurt some of the ounces produced this year, no question about it. But we'll put that out just as quickly as we can get firm numbers around it, Craig.
Okay. Yeah, you're drilling too. I saw some drill results and I also read something about a property nearby called Hard Cash.
That's right.
Hey, I like the sound. Come on, you gotta like a hard cash mine. What can you tell me about what you've drilled and what you see maybe at this hard cash mine?
Well, it's another little historic mine that sits just 3 to 4 miles north of the mill. We've known the owners of this property for quite some time, or the guys in Montana have got a good relationship with them. So our geologists have been up. They've done some chip sampling to get started with. We made an agreement with the owners of the property. We bonded the drill pads and drill sites, and we will probably start drilling. It's a small drill program, Craig. It's, I don't know, 4 to 5 holes, and obviously it can expand from there as we go. But, you know, it's just the proximity of it to the mill. It just makes all the sense in the world that we would take a look at some of these opportunities on a small scale basis. You know, we don't bet the ranch on these things until we get them in production. And, you know, the strategy really is, and I think people miss this, is, you know, and I use my words, is if you own the mill, you own the district. You know, you can have all of the mining claims and all of the potential for the ore in the area, but if you don't have a place to take it, like a mill that we have, and even do, you know, we're thinking about doing some custom toll milling at this point in time as well, if it's lucrative enough, you know, then the small claim holders are coming to us to try and unlock the value of their properties. I mean, to put a mill in right now of this size, 150 tons an hour, you know, you're talking probably $6 million, but more importantly, you're probably talking 3 to 4 years by the time you get through the permitting and the construction side of it as well. And you know how these commodity cycles go. It's difficult to get debt financing on anything like that when you're looking at futures and commodities to go with it. So we think the mill is placed in a very good place. There's a lot of old historic mines in the area. As folks, we reach out to them and they reach out to us, and where our geologists go up and do a good due diligence. You know, we have our own assay lab, which is a huge advantage for us, where we can turn samples around in 24 hours. And right now, again, with the commercial labs, you're looking at 6 or 8 weeks on a turnaround of a sample. So that's a huge advantage that was put in right at the very beginning of the business. So, we'll see. It'll be, probably September, October before we have results to release as we get up there and get the drilling started and get the results turned around. And we're optimistic, obviously, or we wouldn't be spending the money. But it's in the right location, and we'll see what comes out of it.
And are you drilling up at your Custer property? And
we are. Yeah, we've got two drills turning up there. I mean, the mine production is going well. We've got about a month of inventory in front of us. We're starting the decline down to the next level. And we're working on the water permit, you know, as we go down deeper. Again, as anticipated, there's water as we go lower. We've engaged some of the best consultants and engineering firms in Montana to work with this. We've filed the application with the DEQ. We've selected the equipment to clean the water up for the land application that we're proposing to the DEQ. And so far things are moving along, but you know, statutorily it's 180 days before a water permit can be issued. So we started that clock in February. So we're looking, I think, August to for that timeline. And then, you know, we'll see what negotiations need to be had, what modifications need to be had, but we're well advanced on the water permit as we drive the declines down into the next levels.
All right. Well, and then Joe, I guess really, when it gets down to brass tacks, how's the balance sheet look? I mean, you mentioned you've raised, you know, just short of $4 million this year in private placements.
That's right.
You'd probably rather not do, because you'd rather just be cranking out the gold and, you know, making money.
Absolutely, Craig. You know, as I always tell every shareholder, I mean, you know, being the largest shareholder of the company, nobody is more sympathetic than I am on dilution. So believe me, you've got your interest, are well taken care of when we look at dilution. But, you know, you can't, as I've always told shareholders, I said, geez, I wish there was another way to raise money. You know, we've done some bridge loans. I've done some personal bridge loans to keep the company going in between raises with it. I suspect we're going to need one more raise to get through the cash flow that we need as we work out terms and arrangements with brokerage firms, with our concentrate, because it does take a while to turn around that first set of cash when you send that concentrate off that goes with it. So, yeah, we could be in better shape on the balance sheet, but you know, we're working through it as we have before, and yeah, I suspect we're going to need another raise to make it through to get the cash flow going from the concentrate we're producing.
Yeah, but all part of the process. You know, I look at the chart. I think I own the stock about 10 or 11 cents US. Right. And it's down to about 6. And man, there's a lot of red candles on there, Joe. Whenever you see that, it's just like, well, you open it, and then oh, here come all these shares, people dumping it. But I kind of figure that's in reaction to just the challenges that you'd had, you know, in the postponement of the production, the postponement of the cash flow.
I'm sure it is, Craig. You know, nobody likes bad news, right? When you're setting these off, but you know, again, we're trying to be as transparent as possible. We try and do everything we can do to prevent these things from happening. But it's the mining business too, and you know, there's setbacks and there's positive days to go forward as well. So I'm sure some people have lost faith in us as they go forward. And then I think, you know, the hot spot right now is in the metals. People jump around, certainly copper with the EVs and certainly anything that has to do with battery metals or rare earths right now is certainly another hot trigger point where money rotates and moves within the mining sector. I get it. We're doing everything else to pull out of it, but we're working hard at it, and we think we've got a good plan going forward.
And lastly, you know, sometimes people look at, I don't want to characterize it as a micro cap, but what the market cap is just $30 million dollars US.
Right.
Sometimes people look at that as just like a call option on the gold price, you know, and if gold goes to 2,200, wow. But that's not really your deal, right? I mean, $1,800. Okay.
Oh yeah. $1,800 is I've told people and yourself, and $25 silver. Remember, we've got a pretty healthy silver credit in this mine as well. You know, these are people have forgotten, you know, everybody was surviving between $1,100 and $1,300, right. and silver in the single to low double digits here for quite some time. And, you know, we've got this nice uplift in the price now. Sure, everybody would like higher prices, but $1,800 is a pretty healthy number right now that the gold seems to be hovering around. It breaks through one day and pulls back the next. But I think, as I've said, I don't predict the gold price, but certainly if you just look basic economics of the amount of money that we're printing, the high inflation that's going on, it seems like, you know, we may have lost the gold industry, that is, some market share to Bitcoin when it went up over $50,000, but you see how it's pulling back now. So I do think gold is still the standard at the end of the day that people look at when they're fighting against inflation and putting some of it in their portfolio versus the markets.
All right. I've got WGMCF here in the US so that you can research this yourself, because again, Joe obviously knows what's going on up there, and I try to put as much information out as I can, but you don't want to just take our word for it. You always got to do your own due diligence, you know, especially on smaller companies like that. WGC in Canada. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
.cn. Yeah.
All right. So everybody, that's where you can start. Again, I'll put some links and a chart on here so you can look at that as well. Joe, maybe we can talk again toward the end of this year. And again, like you said, geez, the mining, if anything comes with uncertainty as a business, that's right there toward the top. But between now and maybe the next time we talk, you mentioned maybe one more raise, maybe some production guidance, maybe some more drill results, other things like that we should look for.
Yeah, we will produce as much information as quickly as we can, Craig. I'm not one to put a press release out, you know, just to put a press release out because there hasn't been any news. But when we have news of any type, good or bad, and that needs to go out, we will certainly try and stay on it and keep all of the investors up to date. And we appreciate your patience in this business, and we're continuing to strive forward.
Well, Joe, that's always about the best part here is you're a straight shooter. Murray Nye, and CEO, is a straight shooter. You guys have been around this a long time. You got a great team. You got an asset that has produced in the past. We know there's gold there. And it's just, you know, right, sort of challenges that come along. So I appreciate the update, my friend. This is great.
You bet, Greg.
Keep doing your thing. All right.
Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. And to all the investors and shareholders out there, thanks very much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember, do all your due diligence. Take a look at Winston Gold Mining Corp. The links are on this page. The symbols are on this page. And let's just see where they can go from here. Again, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.